This is Jorge Fascinetti, and you are listening to an exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. Welcome to our podcast. This is another podcast in the series about medical management of acromegaly from Dr. Louis Blevins. Today, Dr. Blevins will be talking about the medication Somavert, or pegvisiment for injection. Here's Dr. Blevins.
Thank you, Jorge. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Louis Blevins of Pituitary World News, and today we'll be talking about Somavert, or pegvisiment for injection, and its use in the medical management of patients who have acromegaly. Somavert has been available now for over a decade and is approved for the use in patients who have acromegaly and residual disease after surgery or who are not candidates for surgery. Before we start talking about the efficacy of the drug and how it's used in patients with acromegaly, let's talk a little bit about drug development. This drug is an antagonist of the growth hormone receptor and growth hormone interaction, if you will. A drug that's an agonist would be a drug that stimulates a receptor, and an antagonist blocks or inactivates a receptor. So basically, it's blocking growth hormone action on cells. Somavert is a chemically modified form of growth hormone, and in fact, as I recall, the drug was developed initially as a superagonist, something that was supposed to act like growth hormone and might be used in growth hormone deficiency, but it turned out to have antagonistic properties. And then, of course, it was then deemed as something that might be useful in a state of growth hormone excess like acromegaly, and it was further studied and proved to be effective, and we'll talk about some of those results a little later. But first, how does growth hormone work, and how about this drug? So growth hormone is a protein that's secreted by cells in the anterior pituitary, and it circulates through the bloodstream and binds to its receptor that's on the surface membranes of cells throughout the body. When growth hormone binds to its receptor, its signal is transduced to the inside of the cell that causes a lot of things to happen. Think of this as an instruction, if you will. Depending on the cell, for the cell to do whatever it's supposed to do. If you're a liver cell, you make IGF-1. If you're a cartilage cell in the epiphyseal growth plates, you divide and ultimately form cells that become bone cells and lead to long bone growth. If you're a fat cell, you start breaking down fats. If you're a muscle cell, you start taking up amino acids and building muscle proteins. So these instructions cause cells to do different things depending on what those cells are inclined to do in our bodies. Somavert binds to the receptor with more potency than does normal growth hormone, and then it sort of gums the receptor up, if you will. It prevents the receptor from undergoing a change in its configuration that actually activates those second messengers in the cell and translates that signal from what's going on outside to inside it. And it effectively blocks the instruction that cell would be given in response to growth hormone. So it's sort of a really cool thing, and I guess sort of an accident of discovery that allowed us to develop this drug that is demonstrated to be effective in the treatment of patients with acromegaly. As you might expect, a lot of research has been done initially to prove the concept and then clinical trials to evaluate the efficacy of this drug. A pivotal study showed that this drug definitely works better than placebo. There are dose-dependent responses in that if you increase the dose of the medication, you get a greater clinical response. And when the dose of Somavert was titrated, you can effectively normalize the IGF-1 in over 90% of treated patients. Those of you with acromegaly know that if you lower the IGF-1 or normalize it, you're going to see improvement in symptoms and signs, and that was precisely what was seen in this study. The symptoms and signs of acromegaly that were evaluated also improved to some extent in treated patients. For example, ring size decreased, headaches diminished, etc. Studies have since demonstrated that patients with diabetes mellitus or hyperglycemia see improvements in glucose levels and hemoglobin A1c levels. The only significant side effects seen in the original pivotal trial were those of abnormal liver function seen in a small number of patients. So it's recommended that patients have liver function tests checked at periodic intervals. That information's in the package insert. You should review that with your physician. The abnormalities in liver functions are something that occurs in an idiosyncratic fashion, so it can't be predicted in advance, and it also cannot be anticipated to occur at the time of initiation of the drug versus several months later, for example. So just make sure that if you're going to start this drug that you follow up with your liver functions as well. As is the case with most drugs, drug comes to market, is used clinically by large numbers of physicians and their patients, and we collect additional information. And fortunately, the company that produces Somavert did an ongoing, if you will, study or database collecting information about those patients who were treated with the drug to look at efficacy and also side effects. The results of analysis of all the data suggest that in a real-world setting, this drug can gain control of IGF-1 levels in just over two-thirds of patients with acromegaly. Interestingly, however, the average dose used in the study was 18 milligrams, and as a treating physician, that suggests to me that the doses might not have been titrated to maximum clinical effectiveness, because you can go up to 30 milligrams with this drug. So there's no arguing with the results, but I wonder whether in a real-world clinical situation there are a lot of physicians who do not have expertise in the management of acromegaly who may not be using this drug to its maximum efficacy. That is, of course, speculation on my part, and I look forward to seeing more information about this study as the data are teased apart. The study also produced new insights into the issue about abnormal liver functions. Liver function testing is still recommended, but it was also determined that those who had abnormal liver functions, it wasn't always due to the medication, and that makes sense. People with acromegaly are going to have liver disorders or diseases or gallbladder problems that are going to lead to abnormal liver functions as well. So I think it really points to the fact that if you have abnormal liver functions with any drug, you need to see a liver specialist or a gastroenterologist or someone who can evaluate to determine why you have those, rather than simply ascribing them to the effect of the medication. Another interesting observation was that some patients get lipodystrophy at the injection sites. My recommendation is to rotate injection sites so that this is less of a problem, but I think this has occurred in patients even when they did rotate sites. Lipodystrophy is a term used to describe abnormalities in the subcutaneous fat and can occur due to lots of different reasons, but also during injection of some different medications. And it turns out that Somavert is one of those drugs that causes that in a small number of patients. One of the concerns proposed many years ago when Somavert was first being studied was that if you block the growth hormone receptor and lead to lowering of the IGF-1 levels, that lowering of IGF-1 may lead to proliferation and growth of pituitary adenomas. And this is all related to classic negative feedback physiology, where IGF-1 would normally restrain growth hormone levels in normal growth hormone-producing cells. So there's been a lot of concern about the possibility of tumor growth in patients who have acromegaly who are treated with this drug. And in my view, the studies have showed that that is not the case. That does not happen in response to this drug. The original pivotal trial and also the follow-up study showed that a small proportion of patients do have an increase in the size of their growth hormone-producing tumors. However, if you extrapolate that to clinical practice and also look at the rate of tumor growth in patients who take somatostatin analogs, for example, what you see is a lot of noise, and the conclusion in my mind is that patients with acromegaly, some of them have aggressive pituitary tumors that are going to grow regardless of what drug is used. I'm fairly convinced with the low rate of tumor enlargement in patients treated with Somavert that it's not related to the drug, but instead is the nature of the beast, if you will, and that some of these tumors are going to grow despite treatment and need additional treatment and additional surgery over time. My point of bringing this up is that those of you who have acromegaly and are advocates for your own health care will find information on the internet or the concern about tumor growth in response to treating yourself with Somavert. And in my view, you need to have regular monitoring of your tumor with MRI as you would anyway. And I think you can rest assured that this drug will not cause your tumor to grow any more than, say, any other particular drug you might be treated with in the setting of having uncontrolled acromegaly. Next, I'd like to talk about treatment. So the manufacturer recommends that we start treatment with a loading dose of 40 milligrams. This injection is to get the levels up so that you start responding quickly. Most of the endocrinologists I talk to don't proceed with a loading dose. Some do because that's recommended. The drug seems to work faster if you do, rather than giving a low dose daily. It probably takes a week or two to get your levels up to where the loading dose helps you get to much more quickly. So six on one hand, half a dozen on the other. The recommendation is to use a loading dose. Thereafter, I usually start with 10 milligrams daily and increase the dose at six-week intervals to the maximum effect on the IGF-1 level. The maximum dose of the drug is recommended to be 30 milligrams daily. On a couple of occasions, I've used 40 milligram daily and had additional benefit from exceeding that 30 milligram daily recommendation. Interestingly, studies have showed, and I've seen in my practice, that some patients can get by taking Somavert every other day rather than daily. In my experience, those are patients who usually have smaller residual tumor after surgery, but it's worth a try in someone who is needle phobic or elderly and can't take their injections or has to have help, for example, giving those injections. In the 13 or 14 years or so that this drug has been available, I have seen efficacy in normalizing IGF-1 in all but about three patients. So I would estimate that my clinical experience with this drug is it is as efficacious as the original pivotal trial showed it to be. We don't understand why some patients don't respond to this drug. Presumably they have growth hormone receptors that function because they look acromegalic. Whether it's a receptor polymorphism or some other problem that causes the tissues to not respond to the drug, it's hard to say. But clearly not everyone responds, and we have to craft additional medical and surgical and radiotherapeutic measures to be able to control those patients who tend to not respond to this drug. Interestingly, however, if I look back at my patients who didn't have a response, meaning normalization of IGF-1, they truly had a response. Some of them, the IGF-1 level came down by 50% but didn't normalize. And the original pivotal trial shows that very same thing as well. So that if a patient doesn't fully respond to the drug, they may still have a proportional lowering of the IGF-1. And along with that comes improvement in the clinical state of their acromegaly. In those patients, combination therapy with another drug may be useful, and we'll discuss that in one of the subsequent podcasts.
Well, this is really useful information, particularly for those of us who are taking Somavert. So there are a whole host of other drugs, and I know you are covering them in this series of podcasts. The last podcast in this series will be on how to put it all together, analyze it, and evaluate the information and decide how to precisely treat individual patients. Tell me where Pegvisomant fits in to the management of patients with acromegaly.
Jorge, as you know, a number of bodies have produced different guidelines about the medical management of acromegaly over the years, and those guidelines have changed over time. It used to be recommended that first-line medical management was with a somatostatin analog. About a decade ago, contrary to official guideline recommendations, Dr. David Clemens suggested that pegvisomant or somavert might be considered a first-line medical management in patients with acromegaly, and he equated it with the decision-making regarding dopamine agonists and somatostatin analogs. Now, that's certainly been my approach to the use of this drug since its inception or approval by the FDA, where I consider this drug to be first line in the management of acromegaly. And again, we'll talk about that on the last podcast, but I see this drug as a drug that sits on the same tier as somatostatin analogs and dopamine agonist drugs when you're trying to select the most appropriate individual care for patients with acromegaly. Interestingly, the last set of guidelines published about a year or so ago now suggests the same thing, that this drug can be considered as a first-line agent in the medical management of acromegaly.
Well, great. Thank you for clarifying that information.
Jorge, those who follow us at Pituitary World News might remember that you have acromegaly with residual disease after surgery and that you take somavert on a daily basis. So I wonder if you would share with us the patient's perspective about what it's like to use this medication and how it's worked for you.
Well, it goes without saying, I'm a big fan of somavert since we first tried a drug for me that didn't work. And as soon as we tried somavert, it did its job immediately. And after we titrated, I guess, adjusted the dose, it has kept me in the normal range for over 4 years. So I'm happy. As I think I mentioned a few times, at first I was a bit apprehensive about having to give myself an injection every day, but it really took a couple of days to get used to it. Nothing more than 2 days. Now I honestly can tell you it's like brushing your teeth in the morning. I don't even think about it. If you're new to somavert and you have to take injections, I would recommend you just follow the easy precautions and the instructions that are on the website and that come with the medication, and it really is a piece of cake. The other concern initially for me was cost, when you look at the expense of these medications, but I can tell you that all these companies have extremely helpful support programs and assistance services. So again, if you are new to somavert, check out the Pfizer Bridge Program website, as well as the other resources that are on their site that make things really very easy for patients. I think one takeaway for me as I hear your descriptions of all this information is really how reassuring it is to be able to understand that there are quite a few options for patients, and that all of these options, in one way or another, will work to normalize IGF-1.
Once again, Jorge, thank you for being kind enough to share your personal journey with acromegaly with our listeners. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank those of you who are our listeners in regards to the podcast and those who follow us on Facebook and on our website, pituitaryworldnews.com, for your interest and your support and your dedication to learning more about your particular pituitary problems and also in teaching others, including your physicians, families, and loved ones, so that the world becomes a better place. Thanks and have a great day.